Blog Talk Radio.
Of Abraham, Abraham, as he was called, coming into Egypt.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, oh, and it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can go on pretending day by day that the world somewhere will soon make a change. We are a part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
There's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. It's true, we make a better day, just you and me. Well, send them your heart, so they know that someone cares, and their lives will be stronger and free. As God has shown us, I'm turning stones to bread, and so we all must lend a helping hand. We are the world, we are the children, we are the ones to make a brighter day, so let's start giving. Oh, there's a choice to make it. We've done it.
open eyes that we may see tomorrow. See, Lord, grant us Thy loving peace.
Brother Daryl in the hospital, and those that are sick, wherever you might be, the young lady committed suicide in Detroit, I'm praying for her. Those that are sick, I'm praying for you, Brother Dwight, and those that are caught on drugs and no way out. God is the way out. As I pray tonight, Psalms 87 and Psalm 13, as I get ready to, and Psalm 32 and 37, as I pray for you tonight, as we could, Dr. Ben will come on to talk about the black struggle. But I want to pray tonight for those that's in the hospital, those that are sick, and some of the conditions. Lady called me from Arkansas, and this is a condition. Seems like they got the flu or can't breathe or what. But as I pray tonight, I talked to Mary Hawkins, and I was asking about the bombing in Detroit. They had a big explosion in Detroit last night. I think one person got killed. Snow up in California still, they're looking for another feet of snow. And down in Texas, the fire is still burning. But I want to say tonight, God is in control. And you to know that tonight. If you got a need, plant a seed. The lady called me and said she had an all kind of problem. Take it to God and leave it right there. This is the seed of Abraham. And you can call me or get in contact. with me so I can continue to pray for you. Bruce, I'm praying for you. Robin, I'm praying for you tonight. Carl, whatever going on with your son, I'm praying for him. And anybody got somebody sick, I'm praying for deliverance. The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob. Father God, touch, heal, and deliver. Break down the stronghold of the devil.
And there was no doubt about it that all of the writers prior to racism admitted that the Aztecs were, in fact, Africans who had come across here. There was no doubt when Pigmentetto and others, the point is that Van Sertima is writing and others, but Leo Wiener in 1930 at Harvard University wrote a two-volume book for which he was fired about the African and Almex being African. Now, let me bounce this off of you, okay? He took the same statue. He said, well, he said they're obviously black creatures. Thick lips, broad nose, the stereotype. Okay, other stereotypes. Other anthropologists say, I think Michael Cole is one of them. He says that this is not a black man. He says the people who made these statues, as I understand, are 8 feet high. The people who made these statues didn't have sharp enough tools to give them white people. They're not really black statues. They're white people carving crude tools. What's your response to that?
It's strange that the tools were not sharp enough to make narrow notes, but it was sharp enough to put eyelids. So it would seem to me that an eyelid is harder to make than a 10 notes. But Michael Cole is no less a racist than the head of the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, what's the difference between Michael Cole, Reagan, and the Ku Klux Klan? They have the same philosophy. What is the difference between the fellows writing the Bible and writing about the Queen of Sheba saying to Solomon, look not, ye daughters of Cana, look not upon me because I'm black. My parents sent me in the vineyard and thus all this nonsense. She's black because nature made her black. Her mother and father were black. That's why she's black. Had nothing to do with going in any vineyard, even though it's in the Bible.
Okay, you talked about religion. We're going to get to that in a while. Let me turn to Dr. Simmons. You also agree with this position of Africans in this country.
No problem, no doubt. As a matter of fact, speaking about, like Dr. Ben mentioned, you spoke about Michael Deco. I own a book several years ago and still have it in my possession by Michael Deco himself, who is considered one of America's leading archaeologists and anthropologists from Yale, one of America's most prestigious schools. In his own work, he referred to them as Negroids. And he went farther to say the title of the book is America's First Civilization. When it goes to civilization. And to turn around and to tell these youngsters and other people in America particularly that the black man was the first to build any type of civilization in the Americas will be disturbing to Americans. And so
let me ask you this. Even if you're right, let's say you're right, what difference?
It makes a lot of difference.
What kind of difference?
It takes the inferiority complex out of the black man who felt that his only beginning and relationship here in this part of the world is that of slavery. Then it puts him in the driver's seat. Because the Klans don't tell you that there are man-made hills in the United States. They call them mounds. And they range from in the Midwest all the way down the eastern seacoast of the United States. And there are some artifacts in them that are similar to things found in West Africa and in Egypt, which is Northeast Africa, that predates the arrival of the so-called indigenous Indians in these lands. Another thing is some years ago, one of the major television networks back in New York, I don't remember exactly which one, ABC or which, had done a documentary, and they said that these Almonds are the ones who brought writing to the Americas about 3,000 BC. To tell blacks that they ought to be glad to enter into these schools of higher learning today in order to read and write, because their ancestors back in Africa couldn't read and write. Did you see how what it will do to tell them that they brought writing to the Americas? Antonio Picabetta, that Dr. Ben mentioned, who sailed with Magellan when Magellan came to the so-called New World in 1519, when they landed at the land of Brazil, which we now call Brazil, they were met by people in canoes that carried as many as 40 people. And Antonio Picabetta recorded that these people were just that, came that they came out of the internal martial. That meant that they were burned. He said, naked and black as they are, 1519, 27 years after Columbus's arrival to the so-called New World. Another thing they don't tell you, again, you heard my associate.
Well, we haven't heard anything before. Why don't we read it in the New York Times, Birmingham News?
If I stole another man's country, and I brought your ancestors here to work for me, could I tell you how great your ancestors were and still expect to keep you in slavery?
Well, let me give you a better, but an added situation of that. Most black people in Birmingham, Alabama, like in Harlem, New York, are Christians, and they go to in a black community, a black minister, a black congregation, but with a white Jesus, because they didn't know that that Jesus, up until Julius II, had the first black Jesus painting. He had Michelangelo to do it, but up until that time, the world worshipped the black Madonna and Child. It was important going back to Poland to worship at the statue of the black Madonna and Child. That's in the New York Times. But what the Times said the next day: don't worry about the black Madonna and the Child. She was originally white, but there was a storm in the 16th century passed by and turned it black. But the same storm must have gone to Spain, and then it went to Ethiopia, and it went to the Soviet Union, and turned all the black Madonna and Child. It was a hell of a storm.
Egypt around 450 BC, almost more than 1,000 years before Christ would have been
called present-day Turkey, where people are black skin and woolly here. All right? And so I just want you to understand that the Egyptians we now see are conquerors, just like people who came here and took this land from the Indians. So that they're not indigenous to Africa, those who now rule Egypt. And Egypt is just as much a part of Africa as Birmingham or Alabama is part of the so-called United States.
Let me just be clear on this. But what you're saying to me now is that the people that we see did not know as guys are not true Egyptians.
Nasser's mother was a Sudanese, but their fathers were Arab conquerors. The one that was the African was Mohammed Najib, the first president of Egypt, the one that overthrew Farouk. But 1 year after that, since he was looking for hookup with the other Nile Valley countries as it used to be in antiquity, he was removed by the Arab conquerors. The Arabs didn't come to Egypt until 640. The first non-African people came to Egypt, otherwise called the Hyksos. In 1675 BC, the Africans there were already in the 13th dynastic period. They had built every pyramid you've heard of before. They had found the S-turn in the Nile. They had built every one of the major temples that had already been built, including the Grand Lodge of Luxor. The first European to come there did not arrive until the Greeks arrived with Alexander II, the son of Philip of Macedonia. Because they didn't get to teach you that. They can't tell you that you're inferior and teach you that you taught Europe. The first Europeans to be civilized by the Africans were the Greeks. When you heard of Homer, the first European to have written anything, you couldn't miss that. They said that Homer wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey. And that was not until 833 B.C. The Africans had already in 255,000 at the Cassini Mountain, they had a Sumerian period, first, second, and third, the pre-dynastic period, all the way up. The Africans had produced men like this in Hotep, the most genius that designed the pyramid of Saqqara, the first man to be a physician that even Hippocrates, the so-called god of medicine, was giving him credit and called him the god of medicine. The Greeks changed his name from Imhotep to Aesculapius. There he is.
Listen to what you're saying. So wait a minute. You got to tell me now that black men taught Homer.
As a matter of fact, the Egyptians and Homer was Egyptian. That's Greek.
That's right. The Europeans said that the Westerners now said he was. But let us move back. Remember that Homer himself said in the Odyssey was that the gods Zeus and Apollo, you are sports gods, came from Egypt. And I read it, and I didn't write it. He wrote it. Phallus. From Phallus down to Socrates, and Socrates down to Aristotle, which they call the pre-Socratian philosophers, the post-Socratian philosophers, each and every one, including Plato, who spent 15 years in Egypt receiving their education.
Saying Plato was educated in Egypt.
15 years! Before all of us left nothing. Every one of
them. But you have to believe in also, for part of what you said last night, that Plato and these guys went back home, and they were big guys. But they were taught in Egypt.
They came there for education. They didn't hire them. They used the modern writers, modern instructors and professors who were trying to deny it.
You can't have a racist school in Birmingham. Non-racist education.
Let me get to something you said last night that's not going to make you very popular in this town. They not allow you to get safely out of town. You told an audience last night that you saw, I think, in a tomb in Egypt.
You saw
it with your own two eyes, right?
Yes.
You told me that Moses, there were more than 10 commandments. Moses took 42.
His negative confessions. Well, Moses isn't supposed to have been born until 1349 B.C. The Africans were already in the 18th dynastic period. Akhenaten, who died before Moses was born, and Inuket, who died more than 2,000 years before the birth of Moses, and others at the Grand Lodge of Mem had 42 laws called now the negative confession, one for each no. They go like this: I have not killed man nor woman. I have not spoken ill of the gods. Moses is supposed to have gone in Egypt, they said, at a place called Succoth. Already, it says that Moses gets the Ten Commandments of Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is still in Africa, right? The Sinai Peninsula is a part of Egypt. More so, is it possible for Moses to be born in Egypt, educated in Egypt, At age 85, he's still in Egypt. And he did not learn the negative confessions. Is it possible for you to go to school, born in the United States, go to kindergarten, elementary, junior high school, and college, and never heard of the United States Constitution? Then it would have been impossible for Moses, when everybody had to read the negative confession 5 times a day, for Moses not to have seen those 42 laws and extracted 10 of them and 32 more. Now, people get to be observed to the temple of Sodom at Abuja, to go to the tomb of Ramses VI at the Valley of the Kings, go to the temple of Edfu, where you would, by the way, see the story of an immaculate conception and a virgin birth 4,100 years before the Mary and Jesus story.
As a matter of fact, let me just put in the form of a question. I don't want to stop this, because we're here for information. But what you're trying to get me to believe is that Moses didn't get the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai, but he got them from his fellow Africans.
Moses was a high priest of Egypt. He was a high priest of Egypt in Egypt. Then what was he teaching? He wasn't a high priest of the Jews.
There were no Jews in those days. They called them. Remember now, there was no Israel yet. Israel is not until 1196. And when we hear of Abraham, Abraham, as he was called, coming into Egypt, the Africans are already in Egypt, already in the 14th dynastic period when he shows up. All of the pyramids are built. That's another thing. Everyone, the 62 pyramids in Egypt was built before the first two were born.
Why was he slain from the four?
I can write anything when I want to write, you know. Who's going to stop me from writing if I got the power?
I'm about to ask you, what kind of trouble did you get into with all these kind of things?
Oh, I'm some, without a day, I was a black sister spat in my face because she couldn't take that. She couldn't take that Jesus was black. She said, no. I mean, he ain't had no color. He didn't have no color. I hope John the Baptist was like a baptizer.
Do you realize that you're getting a foundation? That you're shooting and digging away the foundation of what most of us grew up believing?
Yeah, well, we believe a lot of things for a long time. One thing, they give us 3 pages in the Bible. Slave obey your master. And that's what we believe for the longest time. We said that Jesus said, so how would Jesus, who fought the system, start to the slave obey your master? We do some rationale with it. So, look, most of the things, we're in a European system. You just come to this university and spend 4 years. We're going to spend another 2 years for your master and another 1 or 2 for your doctorate. I've never had any course at all about Africans. But every day you come here, you got courses about Europeans. This is an extension of European culture, European belief, European race. And I have no intent of teaching about the Africans. The Africans built the European first university, the University of Salamanca in Spain. These are historical records.
One of the things you said last night is that it's not just black people who are saying this.
Most of this information are written by white.
It's just that they don't emphasize it in the classroom.
As a matter of fact, let me back you up when you open up the discourse. We were speaking about Columbus. You have a family here. No listening audience, even in the air, has the same society that in the life of Columbus, when Abel was dead, his family had to go to court because Jordan was raised, and this is in the record, in the Vatican, in the secret archives of the Vatican, that Columbus was shown a map of when the Queen of Sheba, that Dr. Ben spoke about, this black woman who had mingled with Solomon and produced the son, Manasseh I, and they lived more than 900 years before the birth of Jesus, had already sailed through what is now called the Strait of Gibraltar, came to lands to the west. That was longer than Africa and Europe combined. And that, brother, is North, South, and Central America.
May I add this? You, right here at this university, they teach, and I've just been here 2 days, right? A day. They teach you this institution because it's the same as Cornell elsewhere, that Hippocrates was the father of medicine. He's not until 333 BC. Let me read this for you.
Teach at Cornell.
I teach at Cornell also.
Any patients can start Cornell?
Yes, we teach it now. I'm there.
Okay.
1700 BC, that's 1400 years before Hippocrates, you can find the Cahoon Medical Papyrus paper, a compendium of information about women's diseases and pregnancies. In 1600 BC, that's 1300 years before Hippocrates, the Edwin C. Smith Papyrus, a comparative surgical text on anatomical inquiry, it especially deals
1550. Let me drop the one here. Evers Papyrus. A medical paper by Queen Hatshepsut, the first known queen in history and Egyptian queen. A papyrus designed to show women how to develop a method to stop pregnancy, to insert into the vagina, made of the sugar of acacia and honey, which breaks down the lactic acid. Not only that,
we're talking about birth control
in 1550 BC by the Africans.
It's a long time for
a milk. A few days.
Keep in mind that Europe is not getting this drink.
Europe is getting this drink.
I'll
have
one at a time.
The civilization has begun. Homer, I'm not written in the opinion and honesty. I'm the hero.
All the second talk.
You think we can find it? I have nothing saving. It's not here. It's either in Doc's library or mine that's back in New York. Nothing takes for granted.
What have you brought up? Are you saying not all this by black men?
No. Anacalypse is written. Look now. Anacalypse is a true value work by Sir Godfrey Higgins, written in 1838 in England and published by Watson Company. The Golden Bowl is a 13-volume book by Sir James Frazer, published simultaneously in the United States and England, and it was published in 1938. Bible Myths and the Parallels in Other Religions, written by Thomas W. Doe, that is published in 1887 by Watson Company, London, England. The Ruins of Empire by Kong C.F. Bowling is published, there it is, it's published in 1792 by simultaneously in England and France, done by a man who was Napoleon Bonaparte.
Let me say this about that. If we just give you the benefit of the doubt and consider what you're saying to be true, I mean, you are chipping away at everything we've ever been taught, most of which what we believe.
But you were taught to be a slave.
Nobody slave in the 3-3.
Yes. We are no longer physical slaves, but we are mental slaves. And this is the worst form of slavery. Some of us believe that the Cadillac and the house on the beach makes us free. But it's the mind that makes us free.
Well, I'm just glad I got to ask a question. You know, I'm supposed to finish. Go on to something else, man. Tell us about some of those pictures, because I want
to start this picture that you were looking at right here is the picture of Pope St. Peter, the first Pope of Roman Catholicism, as the church admits. The church said, hey, black face, black everything.
It used to be black all the way down the single of them, all those things.
Well, how do I know you just didn't get a picture and paint a black face?
No, that is the statue in Rome. That's it.
No.
Take the fastest speed and go to Rome and come back.
Right.
And tell us if it's not. That same picture. I used to teach at Roman Catholic
College. This is there now?
Yes, no. And every Pope kisses a stone. They said the stone, the wound by the thousand kisses placed there. If the book that I got it from was that heavy, I would bring that using the Pope kissing Pope John 23rd.
Who is this black guy?
St. Peter, the man that they told you every black minister, every white minister says, Jesus gave Peter the keys to heaven, which means that no white man, nobody else could enter into heaven unless it come by will and the black man. But I hold the keys to heaven, that's right.
And there's no reason why Peter should not open for me. He suffered to them.
What else you got there?
Well, what I have here is some black saints. St. Augustine, some of you say the St. Augustine, St. John Chrysostom, St. Athanasius, and St. Ambrose, black saints of the church. You have to remember that Christianity is called in Europe and by Europeans as a new religion, right? It was alien to Europe. Emperor Constantine is the one who decided to take it. He said, I need a religion to unify my empire. With this religion, I could then conquer the world. And he himself was never a Christian until on his dying bed in the year 337 when he became converted to Christianity. But he took it to unify the empire.
Isn't it Augustine, in his Christian doctrines, he wrote 48 different works. The two most noted
in the West is his confessions, which he just specified who he was, and then the Holy City of God, and the last was on Christian doctrines, the fundamental principles of modern Christianity. Three black women, Felicita, Perpetua, and Nymphano, were the first to die for Jesus Christ. Next, and they were from what is today called, it's in the documents of the church. And it's in the writing of the church. And was it not Pope Malthasar, the three African popes of the Roman Catholic Church, Malthasar, Victor III, and the other one,
Galatians.
We have them there. Now, these are church documents. But remember, when it came a time in 1506, after we lost power in Spain, the Africans ruled Spain from 1711. We were calling ourselves Moors, F-A-U-E-R-S, and M-O-O-R-S. From 1711 until 1485, 774 years, brought into Europe the university system, filling the University of Salamanca, S-A-L-A-M-A-N-C-A, in Spain, a copy of the University of Genève from ancient Ghana, which was equally a copy of the University of Sankore in Tombuk, which the French later called Timbuktu. Now, look, if you want to read it, read Stanley Lane Poe's The Moors in Spain, written in 1887, or Alejandro Metaziza. Read his book in Spanish, The Moors in Spain, and said that even the Basque was introduced by those Africans.
You said the frog was introduced by...
The bad was reintroduced because Rome had a bad before. But they stopped because of not understanding the Christian doctrine that the Europeans had embraced. They stopped for over 1,000 years from taking back. Matter of fact, I'd like to make my of the time between Victoria of England, boasting of herself being the cleanest woman in all of Europe, taking one bath per month. I have books showing you where people were made saints for boasting and never even washed their hands. Saints of the church.
Do you have a copy with dirt with you?
I didn't bring too many.
Okay, let me run in because you guys are bombarding us with so much. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing in the
background. My name is Joseph Benio Fernandez. I teach at Cornell University at History and Egyptology. I'm an author, former member of the United Nations. Graduate with a PhD from Cambridge University in England, a PhD from the University of Barcelona in Spain. That should help. I originally was a civil engineer who turned to anthropology and history with a law degree and practice law. Now, that was your practice. We had to do a little bit more to get a job. And I was born in Ethiopia and came to the Caribbean as a young fellow at age 6. My mother was a Puerto Rican and I lived and grew up in Puerto Rico on the Virgin Islands. My father was a barrister. And I, as I said, worked for the United Nations and then finally started teaching at Columbia University and other places. Got fired a number of times, of course.
I would imagine so.
I said, yes, with this kind of thing, they don't want that. With the documents in my head, when I exposed that transparent was nothing new. That was done in Africa as early as 1550. I was fired on the spot by Professor Ralph Linton. But about 10 years later, the American Medical Association published the Evers Papyrus, the same thing I got fired for.
Okay, I want to get back to something you were in your book. Maybe just tell us how it is who you are, a little bit about yourself.
Oh, I'm not as important as Dr. Bing. Dr. Bing is the intellectual. So I like to be the other extreme. I like to say that my college is that of hard knocks. And I use myself as the example of as to how high a black man could come from motherhood. Motherhood in the sense that it is said that blacks are not intelligent. And so that what we do is complement each other. He being the extreme with all these, and I will remain the little fellow on the street. However, the little fellow in the street have taught at some of the best colleges and taught the professors so that they could teach you. I've taught at Myers College. I've lectured to Yale. I have lectured in most of the best institutions. I just went to do a week seminar in the state of Washington to educate some professors how to teach and teaching logic. I think what happened Like some people say, well, Simmons, why don't you go and get the thing? I said, no, at my age, I'm not looking for prestige, but my children will. And since there's a thing that black people are dumb, I like to sit back being dumb and just waste the intellectual other folks away.
But he's being very modest.
I'm looking for that.
He's my associate in my office. And yes, at Malcolm King College, I was the chairman of the Department of History in many schools, so he's being modest.
Let's get back to some of the stuff we talked about last night. We talked about it at dinner. You guys just took on the Bible.
Which one? There are many Bibles. You got about 3,000 versions. And the one that most people here believe in is the King James Version. And when a version is not a fact, the version is something like the original. And James commissioned 47 men under Sir Francis Bacon. He pulled them from Cambridge University, Oxford University, University of Eton, and University of Scotland at Glasgow. Those 47 men wrote God's word.
Not going to be very popular in this area.
I didn't plan to be.
This quote from one of your books, and this will be available to us to your audience. We'll talk about this a little bit after we get here. And I'm not even sure I should read this. This is from the Bible.
Is that the Bible? Is it? You should read it.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, 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 wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Change it, yeah, change it, yeah, just you and me. Change it, yeah, change it. Can't do it alone. Need some help, y'all. Can't do it alone, yeah, yeah. Wake up, everybody. Wake everybody. Need a little help, y'all.
Yes,
need a little help.
Say it, boy.
Need some help, y'all. Change the world. What it used to be.
Ain't
doing it alone.
Ain't doing it alone.
Need some help, yeah.
Need some help, yeah.
Wake up, everybody.
Germany, they don't sing the songs of the African people anymore.
I want to pray for them on our prayer list tonight. Sister Daniels, Sister Williams, Sister Cook, Sister Sherry. Also for Daryl Hawkins. Also for Pearl, son, also praying for all those that called. I'm praying for those in Chicago, Detroit, California, those that are sick. I want to let you know God is able. As we pray for you tonight, God is going to release some things. I'm praying for you. And you, and you. So many people on our prayer list. We just want to let you know. Prayer changes things.
Father, I stretch my
sacred, there isn't a greater love story than the story of the prodigal son. Jesus dramatically tells of God's love and God's patience and God's long suffering and God's concern about man in this passage. He intended to show, first of all, the danger of self-righteousness in the characterization of the son that stayed at home. Although he stayed at home, although he did not go astray, although he did should not engage in wild and riotous living. When his brother was redeemed and was regained, he was too selfish to come in and join in the banquet and celebrate the recovery of his lost brother. So that Jesus intends for us to learn in this that it is as dangerous to stay in the church and be selfish as it is to go out but finally come back. Now the theme of this passage is lost. And Jesus intended to show us that God is a God of the lost. Now, Jesus also said that God was not the God of the living, or of the dead, but a God of the living. By that, he did not mean that he turned his back on you when you die. But he rather meant that no man is dead with God. And David had us to know that we cannot escape to any realm where God is not. If he went into the heavens, if he went to the utmost parts of the earth, if he made his bed in hell, behold, God is there. So God is the God of the lost. You do not believe that he's the God of the lost, make up in your mind to come back to God. And like the father of the prodigal, his arms will be wide open. And a robe will be waiting, you understand, in his one robe of blessing. Now, I said the theme of this story is lost. Jesus in this chapter tells of three things that were lost. First, he tells of lost sheep. Secondly, he tells of lost money. Thirdly, he tells of a lost son. In the case of the lost sheep, the shepherd went back over his steps and over his traveling the day, the previous day, and searched in every ravine and every mountainside and every valley until he had regained the sheep that was lost. The woman who lost one of her coins of ten struck in every coin.
Thank you. Cheers. life's ups and downs. God's been good to me. And the downs have been few. Sing this song the other day. But there's never been a